Dear Lord, I bless and praise and magnify your holy name right now, thanking you, Lord God, for just another day that you have made. Lord God, I bless and praise and lift you up, for you are worthy of all the praise and worthy of all the glory. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world, that we might have a right to the tree of life on today. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your truth that endures unto all generations. Thank you, Lord God, for just allowing us to bask in your presence. And Lord, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for just being God, who is above all and over all, Lord God, and works through us all. And Father in heaven, as we come before you, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would have your way. I ask of you, Lord God, that you touch our hearts and touch our minds. Lord God, I pray that you would strengthen us as well, Lord God, and help us, Lord God, to make it through these very trying and difficult times. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, that you would remember all those who are in distress. Remember the ones, Lord God, who are going through right now in Ukraine. Lord, I pray for those people. I pray, dear Lord God, that you would encourage their heart. I pray that you would make a way of escape for them. I pray, Lord God, that you would deliver them from evil, deliver them from wicked and cruel men. I pray, Lord God, that you watch over the women, the children, oh Lord God, the innocent souls, Lord Jesus, that's over there. I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you would arise and let your enemies be scattered. I pray, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would rebuke and bind the works of the devil. Lord God, you're greater than he is. And Lord God, you can subdue and conquer. And Lord, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you would bind the spirit of confusion over that region. Come against, Lord God, the works of wickedness and the works of the devil. Lord, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you hear the cries of those who are in despair. And Lord God, deliver. Lord God, set free. Lord God, protect, shield, and comfort them, Lord God, on every lean inside. Lord God, I give your name the praise, Lord God, for who you are. And I know, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that through God they can make it. I know, Heavenly Father, that through God, Lord God, they can prevail. And Lord, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would help them, Lord God, and that right early, in the name of Jesus. For Lord, I know that you are able, oh Lord God, to do anything, Lord God, but fail. And I pray, dear Lord, as we come before you in your word today, that you would speak to us, Lord God. Speak to our spirits, Lord God. Encourage us, Lord God. Help us to be able to stand, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, and to continue on this journey. And Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' mighty and precious name, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just thanking and praising the Lord for being able, Lord God, to come before you once again. I greet you in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Truly, these are praying times, and it just breaks my heart when I look at the reports of what's happening on the other side of the world. And my hearts are with Ukraine and its people, and just praying that the Lord will remedy the situation and do it quickly. You know, the loss of life is so precious. We can get things back. We can rebuild homes, but lives are more precious than all those things. So let us continue to pray for that nation and pray that God will send a peace there that will pass all understanding and subdue and conquer all of their enemies. Amen. On today, the scripture reading will be found in the book of Genesis, chapter 37, verses 3 through 8. Again, the book of Genesis, chapter 37, verses 3 through 8. And I will begin reading in your hearing. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren. They hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaves arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brother said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. May God bless us through this, the reading of his holy word. And today, we're going to speak from the subject, from trials to a place of triumph. From trials to a place of triumph. The area of concentration of this lesson will be centered on the life of Joseph, his trials, and his triumph. Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob, also known as Israel. From Jacob there proceeded 12 sons, which form the 12 tribes of Israel, as referenced in Scripture. The objective is to help you to understand that some of the methodologies that God uses to achieve certain ends are sometimes misinterpreted as something negative. But with God, things are not always as they seem, because he can take a negative and turn it into a positive. He can use whatever trial that you have been through or going through at this present time to bring you to a place of triumph. It is easy to become angry when suddenly your life is turned upside down and you feel that you have done nothing to deserve it. I find that there are two reasons that a person could go through turbulent times in their life, and that is, number one, they brought it upon themselves. Proverbs 3:15 say, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of a transgressor is hard." When you're out of the will of God, you bring hardship on yourself, and there is no way that you can prosper if your ways does not please God. The second reason is that the Lord allowed it to be so. Psalms 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Our steps are not always ordered to go in high places. Sometimes they are ordered to go into some low places. As much as we would love to always be flying high on a mountain or soaring as high as an eagle, the Lord sometimes lead us to the valley. But if that be the case, then it comes with purpose. The Lord knows the way that each individual has to take in order to fulfill their destiny in the kingdom. It is nowhere written that after you give your life to Christ that the road will be easy, or that you are going to lay down on a bed of ease. Jesus said in John 16:33, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world." The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." But as mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's affairs. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. 1 Peter 3:17 says, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Why? Because suffering for Christ's sake brings blessings. But when you suffer for doing evil, it means that you are going to reap the consequences for your sins. As a child of God, the fact of the matter is that you will have to go through some things, but be careful not to judge periods of hardship on the basis of human perception. Though everything seems to be falling apart and nothing is making sense to you right now, the Word of God comes to let you know that the place that you are in right now is not intended for your defeat. It comes to remind you of what the scripture says in Romans 8:28, which reads, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." As saints, we have an assurance that whatever the Lord has ordained for us, whether we understand it or not, something good and beneficial will come out of it. There is no reason to complain and ask God why you have to go through pain and discomfort, because Jesus suffered. And so why not you? He said in Matthew 10:24, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his lords." If you are a believer in Christ, you will not only know him in the power of his resurrection, but also in the fellowship of his sufferings. But I'm here to let you know that you might be down, but don't count yourself out, because you will rise again. Amen. In studying the life of Joseph, we find that his father Jacob had married two women who happened to be sisters, and their names were Leah and Rachel. And Rachel was the younger of the two. And the backdrop of that story is that Jacob was tricked by the women's father into marrying Leah when he thought that he had married Rachel. Jacob had a deep love for Rachel, and after his marriage to her, it became obvious that she was the one he favored most. Joseph was the elder of the only two sons that she had with Jacob, and he was beloved, no doubt because his mother was most beloved. Joseph, as mentioned, was first mentioned in Genesis 37:2, when he was 17 years old. And the Bible gives us to know that his father Israel, formerly known as Jacob, loved Joseph more than all of his children. He showed preference by making Joseph a coat of many colors, which historians believe to be similar to a tunic that was worn by youths and maidens of richer class. The scripture says, "And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Joseph was not only favored by his father, but he was also favored by God. He had the gift of dreams and visions, of which the interpretations of his dreams foretold future events. But his brothers even hated him because of his dreams. In Genesis 37:5-11, Joseph decides to share two of his dreams with his brothers and his father, which foreshadowed his future power. In the first dream that he had, he saw him and his brothers gathering and binding sheaves or grain stalks in a field. And he said, "Lo, my sheaves arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaves. Now Joseph at that point was not helping to ease the tension between him and his brothers. I mean, you could only imagine the private conversations that they were having among themselves. First of all, he's daddy's favorite, and now this little snot is running around having dreams that we will one day bow down to him. Now concerning the second dream that Joseph had, he said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." This time Joseph's father rebuked him, and he said, "Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come down to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And so the Bible says, and his brother envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now it seemed that Joseph was all too zealous to make known his dreams, but the scripture does not suggest that he was being boastful or lacked humility. More than likely, this was just a kid who was excited about what he saw, and he thought everybody would be just excited as he was. And these dreams were pretty straightforward, and it could not be denied that the Lord intended to elevate Joseph to a position in which he would have great authority. However, Joseph was ignorant to the rules of spiritual warfare. Whenever the Lord reveals to you a secret, how he intends to use you, it is a big mistake to divulge that secret to your enemies, knowing that they hate you. And there are people right now who can bear witness that as soon as the enemy discovered that God was raising them up as ministers in the gospel, that is when warfare began to intensify. Some things that the Lord shared with you was not meant for everybody. It was just for you. Because once you speak it into the air, the devil knows how and when to attack. I mean, really, do you think that the adversary is going to embrace you or embrace, you know, the ones that the Lord is sending to tear his kingdom down? On the contrary, he's going to come at you with everything that he's got. And that's why Solomon declared that there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. But we find that some people just love to boast. And if you let them tell it, God is talking to them 24/7. God told me, God showed me, I'm anointed, I'm appointed. They have a habit of talking too much when they should just keep silent. And when you are boasting about being some great wonder in the earth, the bullseye is on you because you just made yourself a walking target. Now, I just want to say this and move on. When you are truly an anointed vessel in the kingdom of God, you don't have anything to prove because the Lord will always prove himself through you. If you are anointed to do a work, the power and the presence of God will precede you. You don't have to tell any and everybody how anointed you are. It will be made known as soon as you open your mouth. And so getting back into the lesson, after Joseph tells his dream, it came to pass that Israel sent his brothers to feed the flock in Shechem. And then he sent Joseph to check on them and bring back word. When his brothers saw him afar off, they conspired to slay him and said to one another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But the eldest brother Reuben heard it and convinced the others not to kill him, and he delivered Joseph out of their hands. And so Reuben said, "Shed no blood, but cast them into this pit in the wilderness, and lay not hands upon him." The Bible says that they stripped Joseph out of his coat and took him and cast him into a pit. and the pit was empty and there was no water in it. Genesis 42 and 21 gives us to know that Joseph begged for his life in the anguish of his soul. And while he was pining away in this dark pit, crying and calling out to his brothers for pity, they sat down to eat bread. The scripture says, and then there passed by a company of Ishmaelite merchantmen who was from Midian, and they were on their way to Egypt. Now the brothers, they were content not to kill Joseph, so they drew him out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And once the Ishmaelites reached Egypt, they sold Joseph to the Egyptians. Now Reuben had gone away apparently for a short period of time and was not aware of what the others had done. And so when he returned to the pit and Joseph was no longer there, he was beside himself. And so they had to figure out how to cover this thing up. So they decided to kill a kid of the goat and dip the blood, the coat that Joseph wore, in the blood. They took the coat to their father Jacob to give him the impression that the beast had devoured him. And the Bible says that Joseph was just overwhelmed with grief, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. Talking about cruelty. So upon Joseph being sold by the Ishmaelites to the Egyptians, he was brought to a man named Potiphar's house. And he was a chief officer of Pharaoh. And Joseph became his servant. And so just to take a pause, you cannot help but wonder what was going on in the mind of this 17-year-old boy. He was shown dreams of being elevated to a high position, but he did not have a clue, you know, about all these things that would befall him. The Lord did not deal with Joseph concerning displacement. He did not show Joseph the shift that would take place in his life, which would require him to be separated from his family and move from familiar surroundings to uncharted territories. With every elevation, there is a shifting process. And when something shifts, it implies a change in direction or being moved from one place and planted somewhere else. In Joseph's case, the dream that he saw could not be fulfilled without a shift. It is notable that God gave him the conclusion of the matter. But there was a gray area in between the time that Joseph had his dreams and the time of fulfillment. So the God, you know, the ones who are always running around, you know, talking about, you know, God told me and God showed me, it is evident that God does not tell us or show us everything. And it is with good reason. Perhaps Joseph was no Abraham, and if God had told him to leave his father's house, he would have not done so willingly. I mean, after all, he was daddy's favorite and he was given preferential treatment. And perhaps the only way that Joseph would leave his father's house was by force. So who did God use? He used those 11 brothers that hated him to propel him into destiny. The Lord used the ones that hated him to strip him of that coat, which would have been a constant reminder of the place that God was moving him away from. Joseph was the object of his father's affection, and his father gave him some good gifts, but nothing could compare to the blessings that God had in store for him. And so to those of you who are listening, when you think about certain people that hated you without a cause tried to kill your reputation and attack you in every way imaginable. It takes someone of great understanding to admit that if it had not been for your enemies, you would not be where you are today. So look at your haters and tell them thank you. Find those backbiters and tell them thank you. Because the Lord used them to bring you into a place of praise and a place of power that they have yet to understand. So they were used in a roundabout way just to push you further into the gospel. The Lord would have you to know that the road may not be easy, but you will triumph in the end. You will not come out of this trial in a spiritual deficit, but you're coming out stronger than before. Amen. And give them praise. Joseph may not have understood all that he was going through, but God was there as a constant reminder that I am with you. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 39, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Even Potiphar took notice that the Lord was with Joseph, because the Lord made all that Joseph did to prosper in his hands. Joseph found grace in his sight, and Potiphar made him overseer in his house and over all that he had. And the Bible furthermore says that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that Potiphar had in his house and in the fields. Now Potiphar entrusted all that he had into Joseph's hands, except for the obvious, and that was his wife. But it came to pass that his wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and wanted to sleep with him. From day to day, she kept pressing Joseph to lie with her. But Joseph was a man of integrity who would not sin against God or the man who had treated him so kindly. And because Potiphar's wife was unsuccessful with trying to seduce him, she lied and accused him of trying to rape her. And so Joseph's master took him, put him in prison where he was bound. And again, this was a far cry from the dream that he had. But again, all things were working together for the good. The scripture says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the point to be made is that you know, wherever the Lord sends you, however he orders your step, he has a way of letting you know that you are not going to go through this alone or by yourself. And as long as your heart is turned towards him, you will prosper no matter where you are and in all that you do. And just to summarize what happened next, it became known to Pharaoh by one of the prisoners that had been released that Joseph had the gift of interpreting dreams. And at that time, Pharaoh, he had multiple dreams which he did not know the meaning of. And they were all similar in nature. And so the occasion arose when he called for Joseph's release from the dungeon that he might stand before him and interpret his dreams. The dreams that Pharaoh had pertained to 7 years of famine that would affect all of the earth. And so Joseph explained to him that this is what his dreams were pertaining to. And then he counseled him to appoint officers over the land and have them gather up and store a fifth part of the food during the 7 years of plenty, so that during the 7 years of famine, the people would not perish. And so Pharaoh couldn't help but notice that Joseph had an excellent spirit, and the wisdom that he had could only come from God. And he acknowledged that Joseph had the spirit of God. And so at the age of 30, he was elevated to a position of authority in Egypt. And he was made governor over all the land and second in command next to Pharaoh. Pharaoh made Joseph ruler over his entire house. He took the ring off of his finger and put it upon Joseph, and arrayed him with fine clothing and put a gold chain about his neck. And when Joseph rode through the land in the second chariot, the people cried before him and bowed the knee. In wrapping up this lesson, this is where Joseph began to understand God's purpose and his plan. Since the famine affected all the land, all countries came to Egypt to buy corn, which meant that they had to come to Joseph. In process of time, even his brothers and fathers had to go down to Egypt to see Joseph. And when they saw him, guess what they did? Just as he saw in his dream, they bowed down themselves before him and their faces to the earth. Now, Joseph was unrecognizable, because his brothers had not seen him in 22 years. He was nearly 40 at the time. And of course, when he saw them, he was moved by many emotions. You could only imagine what he was going through. The full content of Joseph's treatment of his brothers is told in Genesis chapter 42 to chapter 45. And you can read that at your leisure. And so when Joseph finally revealed to them that he was their brother and also the governor, of course, it was all kinds of things going through his brother's head. But even after all they had put him through, Joseph didn't respond in kind. He told them to go and get the entire family and bring them to Egypt. They were given a place to live and a place to be sustained throughout the famine. And after their father Jacob died, his brothers had fears and concern that Joseph was going to pay them back for what they did to him. But in Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 21, Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And so this is where everything came full circle. Joseph didn't understand the full context at the age of 17. But in a position that he's in now as a man who's fulfilling the destiny that he was supposed to fulfill, that's when understanding came. So in conclusion, Joseph realized that the pain of rejection, the pain of separation, the pain of being lied on, and the pain of being imprisoned had everything to do with where God wanted him to be. The Lord brought him from trials to a place of triumph, where he was put in a position to be a sustainer of life. And that was his purpose and destiny. But he also came out triumphing over many things. He triumphed over anger. He triumphed over grief. He triumphed over resentment and was able to forgive the ones that had caused him to suffer. Why? Because he fully understood that God only used them to push him to the place where he needed to be. As children of God, there are many things that we must overcome, especially the hurt from our past. Sometimes we can't get over what our mother did, or our father did, or our sister did, or our brother did. But when you can love your enemies and pray for them which despitefully used you and persecuted you, that is how you know that you have left the place of just being in trials and have come to that place of triumph. So instead of being stuck on what happened in the gray area, just continue to give God praise for what he has done and for the place and the position that you are in today. He brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He bought you from a pit and put you on a pinnacle. Praise God. And he showed you, amen, that no one is so low that he cannot reach down and pick you up. He brought you from trials to a place of triumph. And that is your testimony. And that should be your daily praise. And when you look back over your life and you think things over, you bless the Lord because he did it with purpose. Amen. He strengthened you. He prevailed over your enemies. And he allowed you to lift up your head above your enemies. So you go ahead and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. And we praise you, Lord God, right now. Glory to God. Because, Lord, you saw fit to bring us, Lord God, out of many dangers, toils, and snares. And Lord God, to lift us up, Lord God, where we needed to be. And Father in heaven, we give your name the praise right now. Lord God, because some things that we went through did hurt. Some things that we experienced were uncomfortable. But Lord God, you brought us from trials to a place of triumph. And therefore, Lord God, we will always bless your name. We can bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Lord God, we can always exalt your holy name, Lord God, because we're no more downtrodden. We're no more classified as a reject. But Lord God, you have allowed us to become children in your kingdom, and you have received us, Lord God, as your sons and as your daughters. And Lord God, we bless and praise and lift you up right now. And just help us, Lord God, hallelujah, to stay on this high. Lord God, we are not defeated, but the enemy is a defeated foe. Lord God, you made us to conquer. Lord God, because you are the conqueror. And Lord God, because you are the conqueror, you made us more than a conqueror. And Lord God, we bless your name right now. Continue to strengthen us and lead us throughout the week. And Lord God, help us to overcome the enemy and all his devices. We rebuke him right now. And we say, devil, you are a defeated foe. And my Savior, he is Lord. my Savior, He is King. My Savior, He is the Messiah. My Savior, He is the Redeemer. My Savior, He is my help. My Savior is a mighty battle axe. Hallelujah. And we're going to make it. Glory to God. Because God said that we can. Glory to God. Amen. Heaven smile upon you. And God bless you all. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.